Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less managing their systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. Today, we have a special guest. We have Demir Bentley. Demir is the productivity guy. His mission is to help people use productivity to create freedom in their life. His company, Life Hack Method, has attracted over 40,000 professionals from dozens of countries. And he's coached executives from companies like Facebook, Google, Uber, PepsiCo, and Lexar. Fun fact, Demir and his wife, Carrie, live a completely nomadic lifestyle, living for 3 months at a time in a different city around the world. All right, Demir,
except,
I'm excited
except
to have
for
you.
This year.
Except for this year. Yeah, put that caveat in there. Not exactly true. But, what's going on right now, depending on when you watch this recording, has changed a lot in the world. Well, Demir, why don't you give us the backstory? How did you become an expert in productivity?
Yeah, I mean, I went to school for productivity and got my master's degree. No, there's no education for productivity. Actually, I sort of did everything wrong. You know, my wife and I lived in New York City. I worked, 80 to 100 hours a week, and really was one of those insecure overachievers who just had a chip on my shoulder around, I'm going to make it in New York City, no matter what. I'm going to prove to all these people that I can make it. And, I got there all right. But I also just totally blew out my health by my mid 30s. And it ended myself up in the hospital with salaryman sudden death syndrome, which is literally when you work yourself to death. And this is something that normally you only really hear about in like Japan or Korea with like these super abusive bosses and work cultures. But I was at risk for that. So my doctor obviously told me, dude, you got to change something. I mean, you got to change a lot. And so for me, the transformation wasn't slow. Funny enough, I'd been like a productivity nerd for a long time, but that doesn't mean it was helping. I wasn't really doing it. I was reading the books and I was putting the information in my head, but I wasn't really putting it to work. After that health scare, within 2 months, I went from working 80 hours a week to 2 hours a week. And that transformation sort of like made me minorly, and I emphasize the minorly, famous on Wall Street, because I was the guy who went from working, I basically outsourced a $250,000 a year job. And so people were like, dude, how did you do it, man? So that was the short version of a long story on how I sort of, forced myself to dive into the productivity world. Because I'll be honest, I think people as a productivity coach, they expect me to sell them on productivity. How cool it is. And I actually don't think that productivity is innately cool. It's pretty boring, actually. But I think I love freedom. I love freedom of options. I love options in life. I love operating powerfully. I like having a lot of time. And it just so happens that this boring thing called productivity, sitting down at your desk and winning your week every single week, ends up being an incredibly powerful tool to create freedom in your life. So that's what I'm all about these days.
So for those watching this, is there a certain kind of person that you specialize in? Because most of the people listening to this are probably those who are business owners. They're overworked and they may have been stuck for a long time. And they probably read, half the books behind me on productivity. And they're like you. Do they have to wait until they have a heart attack moment first? Or is
God,
there
I hope
they
not.
Jar themselves into reality and prevent that from happening?
I mean, God, I really hope they don't hit that kind of bottom, right? But everybody has their own bottom, like a relationship bottom, where you feel like, hey, if I don't change something, my relationship is going to suffer, my relationship with my kids. Maybe it is health. A lot of business owners are on their third or fourth health scare. It's not even like they've gotten their first one. They've already had that door knocking, like, hey, you need to change something. So I think it's a question of like, when do you want to draw that line? I think the people that we serve, it's probably easier to talk about the people we don't serve. We serve knowledge workers, right? If your job is to triage work and determine what's important, what's not important, and then structure and move the important work forward and create unique and value in this unique and different value in this world, then that's the kind of person we work with. So that would exclude, say, like a waiter, a masseuse, in some cases, even a lawyer, if you're doing billable hours. If you literally are just putting in time for money in the raw sense of the word, it's possible that I can't help you because there's no point in getting effective. If you're a waiter, you just go on, you work your shift for 8 hours and you're done. There's no more efficient If I'm your masseuse, Josh, I can't say, hey, I've got a more efficient way to get an hour long massage done in 30 minutes. You're gonna be like, no, man, I paid for 60 minutes. So at the end of the day, if you're really trading time for dollars in the raw sense of the word, I really don't think that what I do would be really of help or service.
So let's before we got together, we were talking about this idea of winning the week. And that's an important way to actually think about productivity. You want to expound on that topic?
Yeah, I mean, so I think that we tend to think about our productivity as this sort of amorphous thing. Sometimes we think about it in the next hour. Sometimes we think about it in the next year. And moving between those timelines creates like this massive like sort of brain explosion, because it's like it really matters. If your productivity only exists hour to hour, that would lead you to behave in one way. And if your productivity is something that you're working on a year to year basis, that would lead you to think and act in a completely different way. So what is the increment of time that we should focus on to execute? And I find that really focusing on winning your weeks is both natural, in the sense that people naturally sort of structure their productivity in week increments, but it also is a sort of like healthy, nice increment of time to focus on. And what I love about weeks is the week is sort of like if we had innings in our life, weeks are these nice little tiny innings. You know, or if we were a basketball team, the week would be like a game against an opponent, right? Like just a nice little game. And so it's a nice little increment where if you lose it, you didn't lose too much. And if you win it, you feel great about it, right? And so I like this concept of thinking about your week as the game and then structuring your productivity and your mindset around what it takes to actually win the week consistently.
I love the idea, and I think it's a great way to do it. Does it start with some kind of idea of what a good week even looks like? Because I'm thinking about my week and I know what a good Sunday looks like. I know what a good Saturday looks like. And then the rest of the days, Monday through Friday, are more like they all look the same to me in terms of what a good day looks like. So how do you define what the bullseye is?
I think the most important thing that people are missing about winning their week, and I'll back up and say that we did a survey of 5,000 people who manage between 5 and 50 people. So pause. Obviously, if you're put in charge of 5 to 50 people, whether you own the business or whether you're a manager in the business, you've been given a lot of responsibility. So these are people who are self-selected to be highly successful already. They must have something going for their productivity already if they're successful. We asked those people, what is the number one thing you need to do to win your week? And 94% of them said that the key to winning your week was to plan your week ahead of time. I don't think anybody here is going to be surprised by that. Probably everybody who's listening is like, duh, I get it, right? Then I followed back. I switched back and I asked them, okay, if pre-planning your week is the key to winning your week, how often have you done it for the last 4 weeks in a row? Less than 1% of people who had just said that winning the week was key, or planning the week was key to winning the week, had been doing it 4 weeks in a row. So I think the obvious duh moment, and yet we're not doing it, is that the key to winning the week really starts and ends at planning your week. If you fail to plan your week consistently, then you're basically dooming yourself to lose the week no matter what. I love this saying. It's like, hey, planning the week is not going to guarantee that you're going to win. Not planning it virtually guarantees that you will lose, right? So I'm not saying you will win the week every week that you plan, but it really is a go, no go sort of threshold that if you don't plan your week, you're virtually guaranteeing that you're going to win the week or lose the week. Sorry.
So then if I want to start doing this immediately, you know, it's Friday afternoon. Should I start after this call? Should I start planning next week? Or is it more of a weekend thing? Is it a Monday morning thing? Is there a certain time I have to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. So what's funny is in that same survey, I asked people what day of the week do you plan the week when you do plan the week? Just for giggles, Josh, which day do you think? And by the way, it wasn't close. It wasn't like a squeaker. There was one day of the week that everybody was planning their day on. You want to take a wild guess at which one it was?
Monday morning?
Monday morning.
Monday morning.
That was it. You nailed it. So the problem with Monday morning is it's sort of like if we're in an army and we're going to battle, it's sort of like the general saying, us looking to the general being like, so what's the plan, boss? And the general being like, I'm just going to chill until the battle gets started and then I'll make a plan. I don't think that we would all feel very confident about that general's ability, right? And similarly, you know, Monday morning is a terrible time to think about planning the week. You open your inbox, there's 400 unread emails. You know, you've got people asking you for things. You're trying to pull your own head out of your, you know what? Like, this is the flat worst time to plan your week. And it is the number one time that people are trying to plan their week. So if Monday morning is bad, what's the sort of allowable time? Any moment between Friday afternoon and Sunday night. And you take your pick. I personally am a little too burned out on Friday to have the courage and the fortitude to look at the hardest bits of my week next week and face up to them. I give myself a good night's sleep on Friday, and I'll either do it Saturday morning or Sunday morning, but certainly not Sunday night. Monday morning. Yeah. You know, the thing I will say, you want to extend that period between when you do your planning and when Monday morning starts, because when you got to think about what happens in that period. You've basically, and I can't ever get this researcher's name right because it's really difficult. It's like Sesminski or something like that. It's a really hard Czech name. But this researcher basically proved that when you stop somebody on a task halfway through, a huge part of the brain is continuing to work on that task. They just can't relax until there's a resolution. The problem with our work is, we're stopping on Friday. Is it ever over? No, it's never over. Our brain is working on it over the weekend, and it happens weekend over weekend. Knowledge work never gives us a nice end point for our work. It's like, now that's done, now we start another one. So the best that we can do in pre-planning is if on Friday evening or Saturday morning, we do a proper pre-planning for the week, what you will feel, I guarantee it, is that your brain will disengage from the problem because it knows, okay, there is a plan, there is a time, this is when we're gonna tackle it, and the plan's in place, the priorities are in place. And my promise to you, anybody who does this, is that the time between planning your week and Monday morning is going to be the most restorative, relaxing time because you'll allow your brain to disengage from the problems of work.
Okay. It sounds like what you're trying to say is that restorative time actually matters. Important?
You know, we have made an art form of entertainment that does not restore us. Huh? When you think about that, haven't we? Like, if you think about anything that you're doing relaxing, think about doing it all day long and ask yourself, would I be more tired if I did this activity all day long or less tired? And, you know, everybody who's watching Netflix or watching YouTube thinking, oh, this is me relaxing, I can promise you that is not relaxing. It is not restoring you. You are more tired. Even if you can't discern exactly how much more, this is not the kind of restoration and relaxation that we need to be getting. But that's a different podcast and a different topic.
Okay, so the first thing to win the week is to plan. And so Friday, between Friday afternoon and Sunday night, you're doing your planning. And ideally, you do it sooner so you actually have total freedom in your brain for some space. Are there any other aspects that you have to actually be aware of to win your week?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about winning your week is I love this concept of gamification, because gamification and the way that you approach your week when you're actually playing out the week, we sort of built into the concept of gamification is this idea of not just technique, but presence. So for example, if you were playing a video game and I came in and said, hey, Josh, how's this video game? And you're like, oh, barely through it, man. I just gotta power through and just get through this level. I'd be like, dude, why are you even playing this game? You look totally miserable, bro. When we think about gamification, we think about somebody who is doing something highly cognitively challenging, and yet they're glued to it. They're challenged by it. They're engaged by it. So if I was gonna boil it all down, because there's obviously a lot of layers that we could peel on this, but at the top layer, I think we've sort of failed to bring out our best productivity tool, which is gamification, play. The truth is that if you look in the natural world at how two mammals might learn, or how a mammalian mother might teach, like say cubs, like how to learn something, are they sitting there like, you know, studying? No, they play. The way they learn in the natural world is playing. We do have a built-in system for working fun, fast and effectively. It's called play. The only thing is we've also got this Protestant work ethic culture that says, Josh, if you look like you're having fun, then there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And we better give you some more work because you look like you're having too much fun here. Like this idea that the more serious you are, the heavier it is, then you must really be a good worker because you're taking it very seriously. It's very heavy, right? That's a leftover of this Protestant work ethic culture. So I think the most important thing, and I talk about this in a training that I'm going to give you guys a link for, it's a free training, is this idea of really bringing yourself in a gamified way to your work and really releasing this play instinct that we have. Because when we bring ourselves in that challenging way, we can get so much more done. And in fact, there's a study that I talk about in my training where they actually divided a group of people, a group of students into two groups to file papers. And they had one group and they said, just file papers, just go for it, right? And they took another group and divided it into teams, made rules, reward, deadlines, referees. Of course, you know where I'm going with this. The group that was a team and had gamified it, they worked four times more effectively. They made far fewer mistakes and they reported that they actually wanted to do it again, right? So you can take the world's most boring job and when you bring yourself to it in a gamified, playful way, you could just blow it out of the water.
I really like this concept. So okay, I'm thinking about this and I know I'm going to start my week. I'm going to be 100 emails behind. Then I know that my computer blows up and then I have some issue with a client, a vendor. How do I make that fun all the way through the week, especially when I don't even know what I'm going to be addressing during the week? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, like, I'm just going to say something everybody knows, but we don't really acknowledge. We don't get to live life unopposed. I have clients come to me and say, Demir, I made a plan and it didn't go exactly that way. I'm like, no general who ever makes a plan expects that the other side is going to lay down and say, oh, you would like to win this battle? Let me lay down my sword and just let you go right by. No, we live in a world of conflicting priorities. And I want to be clear. The people in your life don't have to be trying to screw you in order to have different priorities and different timelines than you, right? So it's not like anybody's out there rubbing their hands saying like, let me screw Josh, right? It's just simply that in a chaotic world, not everybody's timelines and priorities are going to overlap. And in that chaos, often your timelines and your priorities are the ones that are going to get left out, right? So you're fighting, you know, in an opposed war. That means that any plan that you lay out is never going to happen exactly that way. So who would you rather be? The person who's got that sort of lean forward, gamified, again, to the video game analogy. Is the video game trying to let you win? No, it is purposefully positioning itself in a challenging way that it's opposing you. And yet it is the process of getting through those challenges that keeps you so engaged. There is zero reason that we can't bring that attitude to our week. Now, let me give you an example. So you have a plan and something comes in and all of a sudden you've got I planned 3 hours of deep work in my morning and now a client came in and just dropped an emergency. To me, I get into a place of rubbing my hands and going, okay, let me look at my week. All right, this period here now isn't going to happen till Thursday. I had some flex time on Thursday. I'm going to move it here. And frankly, and here's another thing that's really important. Let me see how quickly I can solve this problem. This is what I call put a dent in it attitude. Let me give you the classic definition of put a dent in it. Your wife is a little bit late getting ready on your way out the door, and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs thinking, oh God, she's late. I think a really interesting way to use that time is say, you know what? Let me put 10 minutes on my clock. Let me see how much of this front room, living room I can clean in 10 minutes, right? That's this attitude that you get where you set up a game for yourself, right? There's no sense of, oh, I've got to clean the living room or, oh, I'm waiting for my wife. No, it's like, you know what? Let me use this time. I got 10 minutes. Let me put 10 minutes on the clock and see how much of a dent I can put in this living room. That attitude embodies this idea of leaning into your life, leaning into the challenges and the inconveniences, structuring them like a game and seeing how much of a dent you can put into them.
Yeah, I think that's, so really this idea of leaning into the situations, being engaged, as opposed to just being a victim, passive, like, oh, what was me? And then just kind of drifting off in a low energy kind of way. I guess that would be the opposite.
Yeah. And I don't know why I get, nobody really logically thinks that they get to live life unopposed. And yet when I get people making a plan And then in Monday morning, some bomb goes off right in the middle of that plan. And there's no way that the plan is going to go according to plan the way you planned it before. I get people just throw up their hands and look at me and say, see, 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 there's not, well, what can I do? And my approach is so different. My approach is like, listen, heroes create order from chaos, right? The people we look up to, the world did not lie down for them. They had advantages, they had luck, sure, but they had big challenges too. The people we look up to, the definition of a hero is somebody who takes the chaotic, soupy mess of the world and says, you know what? I get it, it's messy. Let me figure out a way through. Let me figure out a solution. And so, you know, when we embrace that we get to be on a hero's journey every single week, it's a video game that's trying to kill you, right? And yet it is winnable, right? It is structurable in some way. And when we bring ourselves like that, we find that we get the best results. And let me just be clear. Almost every single person listening has had an experience at least 1 week of their life where they did this, where they made this choice, even just by random luck. People know, they nod their heads and say, yeah, I remember there was this one time that, you know, this crazy thing happened and I knew that failure was not an option. And so I made miracles happen and I studied for my final within 24 hours and I got an A on it. Everybody has a story like that where failure was not an option and they overcame crazy odds to bring out a win. And that story would not be as good if the odds weren't stacked against you. So all I'm saying is just lean into that hero story of your week.
That's a great overall philosophy. Let me get to some of the details, the nitty gritties for those who are nerds. So in planning your week, are there certain rules you have to keep in mind in terms of structure this kind of work in the morning, structure this kind of work, and this is when your energy is high, and this is when you're most likely to be distracted, and you know you need buffer time because there's going to be unknowns and you need to plan for the unknowns. Like, is there any of that that you have to be aware of?
Oh my, like, when I say a whole book of that, I'm literally writing a whole book called Winning Your Week that is literally filled with not just rules, but also just, I find that people take incredible inspiration from a lot of examples. When you show somebody, like, look at this situation with this person, right? Almost like a case study. Remember, I don't know if you went to MBA, I didn't, but I know an MBA in business school, they'll do a case study where they'll tell the students half of what happened. And they'll leave off the resolution. And the students have to basically say, okay, if you were the CEO with this problem, what would you do? And then once all the students have basically registered their strategy, then they get to hear the second part, which is what actually happened. And so this is sort of what we're doing, is compiling a bunch of stories of like people facing incredible odds in their week, and then also seeing how they were able to rearrange their week and overcome it, right? But I want to give you something very tangible right now. So let me just like peel off one little tidbit and also say that I'm going to invite everybody listening to a training that's going to be free where you can come and check out the whole Winning the Week formula. And I'm going to like lay it out. So I'm not going to cliffhanger everybody, but one is I want you to think about energy, right? Energy expends in a very linear way, meaning it expends from morning to evening, Monday through Friday. I'm going to say that one more time. Energy expends from morning to evening, Monday through Friday. And all you have to do to test this theory is ask yourself, are you feeling more energized on Monday morning or on Friday morning? Monday morning, right? Are you feeling more energized on Monday morning or Monday night? Monday morning, right? So you can test this any way you want. Energy expends from morning to evening, Monday through Friday. Okay, having established that, why the hell do we blow Monday and Tuesday literally catching up on email and doing meetings? We are spending our best energy every single week on our lowest value work. Now, I get the reasons why, right? I mean, I'm a productivity coach. I've worked with thousands and thousands of people. I know what they say to me. They say, well, Demir, it's all stacked up over the weekend and I just got to clear it out. And when I really dig, they say something like, you know what my plan is, Demir? I'm going to use Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday just to clear out all the shallow work. And then I'll have all of Thursday and Friday to really hit it hard, right? Is that how it ever works? No. Two things happen. I'll tell you what happens. Number one, by Tuesday and Thursday, you are already a flat pancake on the road. Your energy is toast. So even if you did have the time, you're not doing your best work. But usually number two happens, which is that even as you're bailing water out of the boat by Tuesday and Wednesday. Everybody else in the world has pulled their head out of their rear end, and now they're emailing you with new tasks and projects. And by the end of the week, that beautiful Thursday and Friday that was going to be wide open, is you're barely struggling just to catch up to get through it. Why not instead, as at, when you plan your week, by the way, on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and I even give myself a little time to catch up on emails on the weekend, which I then take out of the week. But that means that on Monday, when everybody's literally trying to figure out what their name is and pull their head out of their rear, I am hitting the ground running using my best energy. And I find that people don't really come to until Wednesday. You've usually got Monday and Tuesday where people are just figuring things out, and they haven't really figured out their week until Wednesday. That gives you your best days and your best energy, Monday and Tuesday, to get your deep work done. And what's great about getting, in my tribe, we call this done by Tuesday. It's just a shorthand for, if you're going to get something done in the week, usually if you haven't gotten done by Tuesday night, it probably ain't going to get done, right? Maybe you can squeak it out, but usually Wednesday, everybody comes to you, realizes what they need from you, and dumps it all into your email, and you spend Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday just trying to survive to the weekend. Does this make sense? So this is just one of many strategies that bear thinking about, because if you, Joshua, had a big project to get this week, often, weirdly, we will structure it on Thursdays and Fridays. And I'm telling you to flip your week and put everything that you possibly can into getting your deep work done on Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I love that idea. I'm gonna try that out, because I'm definitely one of the Thursdays and Fridays are pretty well open for me for project work. But I know, especially based on this conversation, that the energy level would be way more intense Monday, Tuesday, and you wouldn't need as much caffeine to make it happen. So that's for sure. Well, very good. Well, we're kind of burning through the time really quick here, Demir. I have some kind of final questions I want to get through. I like to ask everybody. One is about systems. Is there a system you can tell us about you put in place in your business or personal life, and what did that do for you?
Ooh, man. Okay, I'll go quick, but I got two that I got to tell you about. Number one is, I have about 600 active clients right now, right? Some in a membership, some in a more advanced coaching program. And I do email once per week for 30 minutes on Monday, right? And so for a lot of people, they'll look at that and be like, wait, you're in a service business. I don't have other coaches who coach for me. I coach all these people directly. And I do 1.5 hour of email once a week. So that's probably the system from a legacy perspective that I'm the most proud about in terms of the results. I'm happy to get into details at the times there. But the system that was the hardest fought was my video creation workflow. We try to put out a video once a week onto YouTube to build our YouTube following and give people great content. And I gave myself a month to get that one up on its feet. It was more like a year and a half until we, you know, and now it's beautiful. I mean, I don't know where the time is with us. I don't know how much we can talk about, but it was just one of those systems that, ooh, boy, it took me a year and a half to finally crack the code on that one and get it to where it needed to be.
Well, tell me more about it. Was it because of the idea and the editing and the back and forth and the subject lines? What took so long?
I mean, I think the hardest systems are where there's many people that touch the system, and that every single improvement at every single point in the system actually could lead you to have to go change another part of the system. So that every time you change the system, you have to double back to the beginning and change almost everybody's role in that system. And this was one of those things where, let me give you a classic example. Riffing on, I had bullets and I was riffing on a point, right? And so what that was doing was creating all of the downs. It was making it harder to edit, longer to edit, which means we were paying more for the editors. It was making it harder for the animators to know where the animations should go, right? So then I doubled back and I actually started, scripting it. But then that changed the whole, then I had to be working from a teleprompter. It just kept going like that, where we kept making improvements. But every time we made an improvement, it created this domino effect where we had to basically rebuild the whole system downstream. And of course, now that I'm standing here looking back, if I could get in a time machine and go back, I'd be like, dude, just do it like this. It's so obvious to me how simple and elegant the system is now, but it was just, I'm so proud of it, not because I could show it to you right now, Josh, and you go, oh my God, wow. I'm proud of it because it took me so long to get to something that feels now so obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great one. We'll have to talk offline about yours sometimes. I'm curious to know what you do. Very good. All right. So, what's one thing I didn't ask you about Demir that I should have asked you about during this interview?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the most important thing is that I couldn't give a flying fig about productivity. I really do not care about people working more for working's sake. To me, if I could, if people would buy it, if I could market it, I would call myself a freedom coach. I don't think anybody understands what that means. I don't think it's marketable, right? But really what I'm doing and what I care about the most is creating freedom. Time freedom, spiritual freedom, career freedom, right? Monetary freedom. And again, even though productivity is boring as bricks, I feel that it is the single most powerful tool that we have, that almost anybody has, to sit down at your computer, win your weeks, win your days, and create the four freedoms in your life. So I think maybe that's the thing that I'm most passionate that we didn't get to cover. It's just this idea of like, who cares about productivity?
Right.
But it does happen to be really important when it comes to creating freedom.
Yeah, I probably could relate to you on some of that. I'm not really into tech, and some people get really into the tech and the management. And I think that sounds like a lot of work to get that all figured out. Wouldn't you rather just not do that? So I'm more into that camp. Well, where can people find Demir if they want to find more information?
Yeah, I mean, probably the best place is to check us out on our website, lifehackmethod.com. That's lifehackmethod.com. And we put out videos every week, or at least we try to, on our YouTube page. So if you're that kind of person who likes to get lost in the YouTube rabbit hole, you could do worse than watching productivity videos. So we're Life Hack Method on YouTube as well. You can search us there.
All right, awesome. Well, Demir, thanks again. I'm going to put the link you talked about winning the week. I'll put that near this video, and then when this podcast goes into our final production, we'll put it near on the show notes on the website. So thanks again, and
Do you mind if I say just a little blurb about that? Gang, if you do come to that training, it's an hour-long training where I'm basically going to boil down how to plan a winning week in less than 30 minutes flat. So it's basically, I think it's about 10 years of experience boiled down into a quick training that's going to show you, hey, this is all you need to do to plan a winning week. So I hope that you join us if you want to learn that.
okay, awesome. Well, very good. Demir, I'm sure a lot of people in the audience will take you up on that. You've got a lot of great experience, a great story. And I wish I could go deeper into it, but it seems like so many people, they wait till something horrible happens first and then they get serious. And hopefully this conversation has made people realize that they can actually get serious before that, or at least hit the threshold way lower. So they can do it.
Love it, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, good. Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us live here on the Facebook. And again, stay tuned next week. I try to share one of these things live every Friday on our Facebook page at workthesystem.com. Otherwise, you can check us out any podcast player or on YouTube. And if you want a copy of that book right there behind me, Work the System, you can get it for free on our website at workthesystem.com. You can download it there. If you want a copy mailed to you for free, send us a copy of a review. So leave us a review wherever you want to. iTunes would be the best. And then take a screenshot of that, email it to info@workthesystem.com. And then once a week, we pull a name out of a hat and we will mail you a copy of the book. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Have a good weekend. See you, Amir.
Bye, everyone.